Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis 37. Let's stand together. We're just going to read two verses and then we'll be seated. I'm going to talk about a subject today that I know is probably just me, probably no one else in here. So let me just preach to me this morning, okay? I'm going to preach on dealing with being frustrated. Now, I know the rest of y'all have it down. You're an angel. Like Brother Coral says, you got that halo, but the only thing holding your halo up are the two horns. So, anybody ever get frustrated? If not, you're not married. That's just a fact of life that, you know, we get frustrated at one another. It was, I never get frustrated. You've never had kids. I never get frustrated. You've never done your own taxes and had to pay money to a government who continues to lie about everything and give our money to crazy stuff and people that won't work. And I've never been frustrated. You've never opened up an August electric bill. I've never been frustrated. You've never had your spouse call and say, honey, my car won't start. Life can be frustrating, right? Genesis 37, verse number 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. Yes, he had that coat before Dolly Parton did. And they took him and cast him into a pit. Most of you know the story of Joseph. And so we're going to use him this morning. We talked about, last Sunday night, about Job, about rising up out of the low points in our life, the valleys in our life. But just felt led to preach on this subject this morning, on dealing with frustrations in life. How do we handle it? Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time together this morning? I pray that the message will be helpful and fruitful. We certainly pray that if there's somebody in here today that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, we pray for Holy Ghost conviction. We pray that today will be the day that they'll be saved, that they'll trust Christ and Christ alone to save their soul, to take them to heaven when they die. I pray that when the invitation's given in a little while, that they'll be willing to walk the aisle, let someone lead them to Christ. Lord, I pray for all of us in here who do deal with frustrations, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes a week, but there are going to be some frustrations in our lives. So help us to know how to deal with them the Christian way today. And we'll thank you for what you're doing. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Some of you young people have been playing through the song service. I'm not going to point you out right now. Just stop the playing and listen to the message, or at least just be quiet, all right? Sometimes life can be full of frustrations. If you were to make a list this morning, I'm sure that you would be able to come up with, I know you probably say your husband number one, but you probably could come up with your own list of what frustrates you, who frustrates you. The truth is, people will frustrate you. Circumstances will frustrate you. Setbacks in your life will frustrate you. Maybe someone hurt you. Maybe something happened to you. Maybe something was said about you. Maybe a promise was broken. I saw something not long ago where a lady had posted a picture. I didn't know the lady, but had posted a picture of her little girl in the back seat of the car, and the lady took a picture of herself pointed towards the back, and she said, and the little girl was looking out the back window, and she said, this is what it looks like when you take your daughter to see her dad on Father's Day weekend, and when you get there and the dad is not there. This is the girl hoping that dad passes by on the highway as we head back to our house. Just a divorce situation. And, you know, so promises get broken. Maybe a lie was told about you. Maybe there's a pain of the past that still haunts you, and maybe no one around you realizes that it's there. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, when I get frustrated, of course, this heat doesn't help us any, right? When we're frustrated, when I get frustrated, if I'm not careful, I'll handle things in a wrong way. I used to be a NASCAR fan. I'm not really anymore. I don't even like the way they even do all of it now, but I used to be a big NASCAR fan. And so, man, when I'm driving, if somebody frustrates me, my first thought is I'm going to put them into the wall. And I think, man, I could just hit the corner of that bumper. They spin out. I'll throw a gospel track out the window and I can get on down the road. But I can get frustrated. No, none of you have a temper, but I do. Well, but we know that's not the way that the Holy Spirit would lead us to deal with our problems. Now, if you want to talk about a guy, of course, last Sunday night we talked about Job, and we read many things that he had said, and you could tell he was a very discouraged guy, a very depressed guy, and wishing he had never lived. We're not talking about that sort of mentality. We're just talking about, man, I'm so frustrated. And years ago I was playing golf with a couple of guys, and I hit the ball, and if you've ever played golf, I haven't played 2 or 3 years now, but if you've ever played golf, and man, you think that ball's going that way and you hit it and it goes that way, and I get frustrated, man, and I threw my golf club, and stupid me, I didn't realize there was a tree right in front of me, and just broke the head off of it, and I turn around, the other two guys are just dying laughing, falling out of their cart because the preacher threw a fit and broke his golf club. So I mean, life can be frustrating, and circumstances can be frustrating. You want to talk about a guy who had to live a frustrating life? It had to be Joseph in the Bible. Are you listening to me? From age 17 as a teenager to age 37, 38, 39, from chapters 37 here in Genesis all the way over to chapters 45. His life was constant hurt. It was constantly being lied about. He was constantly being let down. I mean, for 20-something years there, if anyone had a reason to feel hurt, it was Joseph here in the Bible. If anyone had a reason to be angry, it was Joseph. If anyone had a reason to grow bitter, it was Joseph here in the Old Testament. If anyone had a reason to hold a grudge, it was Joseph. If anyone had a reason to not trust people, it was Joseph. If anyone had a reason to seek revenge, it was this Joseph in the book of Genesis. And by the way, if anyone had an opportunity to get revenge, it was Joseph here in the book of Genesis. You know the stories. We're not going to look at all the stories this morning there in these chapters, but Joseph was hurt by his own family as a child. He, as a 17-year-old teenager, his brothers were jealous of him, and he was the favorite son, and some of us can relate to that, you know, but he was a favorite son, and his brothers wanted to kill him, and then another brother convinced him to, they threw him in a pit, and sold him into slavery, and went back and told dad that some wild beast killed him. What a crazy thing that he was ripped from his family as a child, as a young man, and his family are the ones that hurt him. Not only that, he was accused of something that he didn't do there in Potiphar's house, and they made up things about him and had him cast into prison when he didn't do anything wrong. You ever had someone falsely accuse you? Or better yet, have you ever had someone question your motives on things? That certainly happens all the time. People try to guess why you do what you do. As you read through the life there, those 20-some-odd years of Joseph, he was used and abused, and he was lied to, he was lied about, promises were broken, he was in prison there, and there were those there that promised him things that they didn't fulfill. Joseph had every excuse in the world to live with whatever type of spirit that he wanted to live with in life. The truth is, and I said something about this in a message recently, but I think it's worth repeating. I believe most of our problems, most of our frustrations, are only a result of selfishness and self-centeredness. One of my preacher friends once said this: if people were not selfish and self-centered, 85% of my counseling sessions would never take place. Look at Philippians chapter number 2 in the New Testament there. Philippians chapter number 2, and I'll kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. Most of our problems, or a lot of our problems, are a result of just our mindset, our selfish mindset. Let me give you some examples. I don't like the way things are going in my life. Somebody owes me something, Pastor, what do I do? Somebody lied about me, Pastor, what do I do? Well, she said this, and he said that, and they acted that way, and I don't like how my teenager was treated. I don't like how they corrected my kid. I don't like how they talked to my grandkid. I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with that, and we can't get along with them. And you see, the mindset is it's all about me. And I don't like what's happening, and I don't like what they said, and I'm not comfortable, and this was done to me, or this was not done, and I thought that it should have. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse number 19, Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, I'm going to send you a young man. I'm going to send you a preacher who will care for you. He said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He said, there's not another person I know that's like-minded like me that'll care for you like Timothy will. He said, I guess he's saying, I've looked around, but I know Timothy will do the job. He says, verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, right? We're in a world today where it's all about me, and we seek our own, and I want to feel good, and I don't want to be offended, and I want to be pampered, and I want to be babied, and I want this to happen and that to happen, and sometimes we act like children. And when I get it all the way I want it, I'll get rid of my attitude. When I get everything the way I want it, I'll treat you better. And when I get things the way I want it, I'll be happy again. Folks, listen, when we don't deal with our frustrations and our hurts properly, there are a couple things that happen. Number one, yes, we're going to get frustrated. Yes, we're going to get upset about things in life. But when we don't deal with those things properly, one of the things we do is we grieve the heart of God. We break the heart. When my children aren't acting right, it breaks Dad's heart that the children aren't living and doing right as I want them to do. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse number 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So one thing we do when God looks at his children and we're frustrated over people, we're frustrated over circumstances, and we're saying things and we're typing things and we're acting in ways that are contrary to the word of God, the Bible says we grieve the Holy Spirit. We break the heart of God. Can I give you another warning about what might happen if we don't deal with our frustrations and our pains and our hurts properly? Can I say this also? We may just hurt those that are innocent that are around us. The Bible says this in Hebrews 12 and verse number 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. See, what we do with those weeds, I used to hate it as a kid when Dad was pastoring here, and we used to have a program where you could hire somebody for the day and they'd come to your house. You used to have words for what we can't use anymore, but they'd come to your house, and you know, Grandma would give them $8 to work for 8 hours, and I don't know why. It was always this. I just need a young person to come out and pull my weeds. I hated pulling weeds. I still hate pulling weeds. When I was a kid, you kids have it so easy these days with your battery operated everything. When I was a kid and we didn't have a weed eater, Dad handed us a pair of scissors. Anybody else ever had to do that? Yeah. We were raised by real men. He handed us a pair of scissors. I hated it then. But man, and I'm telling you, it was snowing every time we did it. In the middle of July, uphill both ways. But we get frustrated. I don't know where I was going with that. I got a twitch when I started thinking back to the days of having to weed. Oh, I know what it was. Those little old ladies have us come out to their house and pull up the weeds. And it was like they let a whole lawn grow in their flower bed before they wanted the weeds. You ever had to do that? Pull those weeds. And man, it's in that St. Augustine grass. And there's just, it's, but here's the problem. A lot of Christians, they say, oh man, I enjoyed that message today. And I tell you what, I got right at the altar. But all we did was just knock the grass down to the ground. There's still a root of bitterness, and things keep still coming up in your heart. There's a root of bitterness. And the Bible says if we don't deal with that properly, the Bible says, let me find my place, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Other people going to get hurt because we don't deal properly with our frustrations. Here's another thing that happens. We don't deal properly with our frustrations and our hurts. Is not only do we break the heart of God, we could hurt those around us, but we limit our effectiveness for Christ. Because the Bible tells us here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, it said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we talked the other night about some things are not sin. On Wednesday night, there are some decisions you have to make for yourself and right motive and all of that. And the Bible says, certainly lay aside sin. We're to confess and forsake sin. But sometimes there are some things in our life that are just weight. They're just weight. And that's weight on you if you're not dealing with your frustrations properly. If things are out of whack in your life and in your heart, and it certainly can turn to sin, be angry and sin not. We're not going to be able to run the race that God wants us to run. And I love what he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, get rid of this weight, this frustration. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Yes, life can be frustrating. Yes, sometimes it's simple things like just silly things, like just not hitting a golf ball right. Sometimes it's more serious things, like in marriage, like the bills. The health can be frustrating. I don't know about you, I don't like to be sick. I can't stand to be sick. I'm in a bad mood when I'm sick because I want to get up and I want to go and take care of my responsibilities. But life can be frustrating. You know, not dealing with frustrations properly, it's why road rage occurs. It's why men lose their jobs. Honey, I quit today. You what? I got tired of being told don't be late. They told me I was going to have to work an extra hour. Okay, bonehead. So don't get a paycheck for the next 2 weeks because you might have to work an extra hour. We don't handle our frustrations right. Not dealing with frustrations properly is why marriages end in divorce. Let's just end it. You young couples, listen to me. You want your kid to be the one in the back of that window? Because you're trading off between mom and dad, and you're meeting up at the, you want to see sad sights, go. Every once in a while, catch yourself at Brookshire's parking lot or Walmart parking lot. You see those two cars roll up beside each other. You know what they're doing. They're passing off children for the weekend. Why don't we just learn how to handle our frustrations? Not handling frustrations properly is why parents physically abuse children. God help you if you do that. God help you if you're a grown man with muscles and yeah, we know you have a temper, but God help you if you ever abuse a child. I'm not trying to preach ugly, but man, you physically abuse a child, you sexually abuse a child, and man, somebody ought to tell everybody at jail cell what you did. And then people ought to turn their back and let's see how tough you are now. I can't stand it when a child gets hurt. Not dealing with frustrations properly, listen to me folks, is why families quit churches. Yeah. So I'm going to a preacher the other day who's actually preaching our Veterans Day service in November, and we were just talking, and And about just stuff he's doing and so forth. And he's retired now and was telling me about, he lives in Missouri and was telling me about his life and where he had pastored and where he had been and so forth. And I said, man, I've been here 22 years now. And he was shocked, I guess, because I look so young. And he only sees me probably online through Facebook. Y'all know how we do. We use the filters. You know, no chins. He's like, man, 22. I said, yeah, time flies, doesn't it? 22 years, we've had a lot of people come and go through our church. Some of it's my fault. Some of it's mistakes that I've made, no doubt about it. Some of it's maybe me not dealing with frustrations properly. But I can promise you that 90% of the time, it is a family in the church. It's usually something petty. It's usually something simple. Not dealing with frustrations the right way. People live in bitterness because they don't handle frustrations the right way. Folks have to be counseled habitually because they don't handle frustrations the right way. So how do we properly deal with frustrations in life? Look back at Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter number 37. I'm going to begin to read because we're going to go to a couple of other chapters there in Genesis. But Genesis 37, our text early, it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. Okay, all right, now let's fast forward. That's when the hurt really started happening. Let's fast forward now to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter number 45, okay? This was 20 years later, really about 22 years later. First time he has seen his brothers, first time they've seen him. Genesis 45, verse number 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, caused every man to go out for me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. They thought he was dead. They thought he was long gone. 2 decades later, he sees his brothers for the first time. He wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph is now second in command of Egypt. They're also scared to death. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Verse 5, now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. Wow. I wonder how many of us would say something like this. Well, I'll tell you what, if I ever see them again. I had a preacher one time tell me this. This was over a decade ago, and I was preaching a missions conference for him. And he said this. He said, I tell you what, he's preaching in a small town like I am, and probably smaller, and the church was nothing. Probably wasn't 20 people in the church, and there are reasons for that. But he made this statement to me on the way to the airport. He said, I tell you what, we were talking about just being a pastor and whatever. And he said, I'll tell you what, I just, most pastors today drive me nuts. And he said, I got a message. I got a sermon. And if I ever get invited to preach at a pastor's conference, I'll tell you what, I'm going to preach that message. Well, when we preach places, whoever the pastor is, if it's a conference, they'll normally say this. They'll say, guys, don't come with an axe to grind. Don't come to our conference and lay into whoever you don't like in fundamentalism. Just preach the word of God. This pastor sat out there in that country church and just got angry towards people, towards preachers. And I mean, he had this message. And I thought, man, well, I hope you never get asked to preach at a place where you would just show up with that spirit of, I got my weapon. And if I ever get asked to preach, man, I'm just going to lay into the way preachers are and the way they treat each other and whatever. Joseph didn't do that. This is amazing. 20 years later, Joseph's telling them, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Okay. It took him 20 years to find out why God allowed what he allowed in his life. So I'm 47. Be 48 in November, and let's say something happens this year. That would be, I'd be 68 before I'd ever even really see the light of, why did all that happen when I was 48? 20 years later, Joseph says, I get it now. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Let me give you just a handful of points. We'll be done. Genesis chapter 50. Okay, now we're at the end. Genesis 50, verse 19. And, okay, Genesis 50, 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. Their dad has died now, so now they think Joseph is going to kill them. That he was just keeping them alive as long as dad was alive. And they're still lying to him. They're still making stuff up. You know, listen. Some people are just always going to be the way they are. Well, I'm going to tell you what. This person frustrates me. It's all their comments, their opinions, their this or that. Some people are always just going to be the way they've always been. Why don't we just find a way to quit letting them frustrate us? So Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear you not. Okay, he didn't just say, let's just go our separate ways. He said, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Well, you know you're over bitterness when you could just shake someone's hand. You may not be their best friend. I got people I wouldn't go sit down and have supper with. I got people I'd rather not be around, but I can shake their hand. I can smile, and from the heart, legitimately from the heart, have not one ounce of, you learn your lessons, right? And there are certain people you had to separate from. And when the track record here, there, and everywhere else is the same, you better keep your distance. But is there anybody in your life you can't speak kindly to? Just kindly. Just a passing. You don't have to sit down and have coffee. But just a passing. Then you've got some things you need to deal with in your heart. All right, here it is real quick. Let me give you these. Four, I think it's four, but they all go together. But we take stuff. We try to make it harder. We try to have some. There's got to be some formula that's hard, and if I do it and work at it, I think this is it. How do we deal with our frustrations? Number one is this. Trust the will of God. Trust the will of God. We talked about, I think it was last Sunday night, we talked about we have to get to the place where we believe with all our heart that God is in charge of our life. God is in control. I don't know why it happened the way it did. I don't know why the decision was made. I don't know why I found that out this week. I don't know why they did what they did. But I still trust the will of God is being done in my life. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Philippians 2, 13 says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Why'd that happen to me back in that year? I don't know what they meant by it, but God allowed it for a reason. Well, why is my life in this way up to this point? I don't know why, and I don't know all the factors, and I don't know all the people, and I don't know the boss and the career and the whatever, but I know this. I can trust Jesus. I can trust the will of God for my life, whether I made bad choices, whether someone made a bad choice, but I know this. I still believe that God is working in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, to put me in a place in life where he can use me. Because that's the God that we serve. How do I deal with these frustrations? I just got to believe God's will is being done. You ever heard those crazy stories like, hey, I was supposed to be on that plane and it crashed? You ever heard those stories? Well, I got caught up in traffic and man, I'm back there. Oh, I hate traffic. I hate it. Not realizing there's a wreck ahead, that maybe that's a vehicle I would have been right beside when it happened. I get frustrated. I'm not talking about us. We're more than conquerors over our frustration. No, we are always going to battle frustration. But we have to, number one, trust the will of God. Either he is in charge or he is not. Number two is this. How do we deal properly with frustrations in our life? Number one, trust the will of God. Number two, obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. In other words, what does the Bible tell me to do? How does the Word of God tell me to handle this situation? Remember, a couple weeks ago we talked about the light. Psalm 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. My goodness. If we would, do you know how many problems we could fix in life if we would just learn the verse that if someone offends me, I go straight to him? First of all, I got to see, is this really worth being offended over? Is this really worth getting my feelings hurt over? Or am I just being selfish and self-centered? Am I just in a mood? Am I just frustrated? Is it just August in Texas? Sometimes there are misunderstandings. That's why I can't stand text. I hate texting. I'd rather just talk on the phone because you don't understand the spirit of a text. Yep. If someone jokes, sometimes you know it's your good buddy. You understand the jokes and everybody wants to put a LOL or a smiley face, or if it's an older person text you, it's XQP LOL 3-2, you know, like, I think I get it. If we just start going to people directly instead of our crew first or online first. If you find yourself apologizing for dumb stuff that you put online, quit putting dumb stuff online. Yeah. Type it and then erase it. Write it down and then throw it away. We need to learn how to handle our frustrations. One is trust the Word of God. Two is obey. Trust the will of God. Two is obey the will of God. The Bible says this, Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estates. That is state. That doesn't mean be condescending. That means get off of your high horse. You're not perfect either. Right. Be not wise in your own conceits. God gives us instruction. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, one of my favorite phrases in the Bible, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I love the phrase because if you've met some people, it ain't possible to live peaceably with them, but you do everything you can. Right. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How do I handle my frustrations about things in my life right now, preacher? Trust the will of God. That happened for a reason. Number two, obey the Word of God. What does the Bible say about how to properly handle that particular situation? Number three is this. Emulate the Son of God. Emulate the Son of God. Here's the question. What would Jesus do? Now, don't be this humanistic thinker that this world has today that says, this is what I think Jesus would do. This is what I think God would do. Well, I don't think you'd act, and I don't think you'd say, and I don't quit thinking, start reading. Amen. Start reading the Bible, where the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It goes right after that. The verse says this, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God knew before you were born whether or not you'd accept Christ as Savior. And he predetermined that those that would be saved would become like Christ, to be conformed to the image of his Son. I don't believe Christ would go around snapping his fingers and popping his neck and putting rude stuff online and saying, well, I'll just ignore them, or I'll tell you what, I'll get in their face. That's how a good redneck would do it. That's not what Christ would do. You say, what would Jesus do? Well, in Isaiah 53, it was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. There's a way to deal with our frustrations. Must have been frustrating to be beat half to death the night before he went to the cross. Must have been frustrated to be blindfolded and slapped and hit with a fist and say, hey, if you're a prophet, prophesy who just hit you. Must have been frustrating to hang naked on the cross. They put clothes on him for sake of us. He hung naked on that cross. Must have been frustrating what he went through. Yeah, I tell you what he could have said was, they'd all be dead. They came in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I'm he. Whew, they fell backwards. But yet on the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them. 1 Peter 2 tells us this in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when they talked about him, when they criticized him, when they mocked him. When he suffered, he threatened not. Tell you what, you mess with my family. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We're going to get frustrated in life. Sometimes it's simple stuff like a golf club, and we just need to get over it and learn to control our temper. But sometimes there are serious frustrations in life. We can either handle it like we've always handled it, and I try to do things a certain way, or we can handle it the way God wants us to. How do you handle it? Number one, trust the will of God. God's allowing it for a reason. Learn from it. Number two, obey the word of God. What does the Bible say about this matter? Number three, emulate the Son of God. God, help me to be Christ-like in what I'm about to say and what I'm about to do. The fourth one is this, glorify the name of God. Glorify the name of God. Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What action or reaction would honor the Lord? So you get that phone out, and you get on Facebook, and you're about to post that because you're frustrated. You think about what would honor God right now. The phrase that comes to mind in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, I believe. The phrase that comes to mind more than anything else when I think about social media is this: and that before the unbeliever. The stuff we put on, the stuff we say, the stuff we... And we claim to be saved in the lost world, seeing some of that stuff. Why would they want the Jesus that we have? People are who they are. Joseph's brothers were who they were. And right up to the end, they never changed. They lied to him all the way through the end of the book. But Joseph chose to live above the frustrations. He chose to look above the frustrations. And I submit to you that despite his many frustrations and his many letdowns, Joseph lived a better quality of life than those that caused his frustrations. And we certainly know that he was more used of God than that crowd. And there are some of you in here maybe that have unresolved issues in your life. Some of it could just be let go if we would just ask God for forgiveness for our self-centeredness and our selfishness. Things aren't always just going to be your way and my way. What do we tell our kids? You don't always just get your way. But then there are some deep hurts. There's some real pain. There's some great frustrations. The best biblical advice I could give you this morning is trust the will of God. Why'd this happen? I don't get it, preacher. I don't know either, but I'm not God and you're not God. But I know it would not have happened if God had not allowed it. Trust the will of God. Keep on obeying the word of God. How do I handle this? Do I quit everything? No, you keep on obeying what God's word tells you to do. Emulate the Son of God. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get him on the phone right now. Is that what Christ would do? Because he opened not his mouth. If that was in today, it'd be, he typed not that text. He posted not that post. emulate the Son of God, want to be like Christ, and glorify the name of God. Does this bring glory to God? Does this help the cause of Christ? Will this help my friend, my coworker, my relative? Will this help them come to know Christ as their Savior? Or will this push them further away from Christianity? Life can be frustrating. We have to deal with it properly.